This is the scripture for today from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken our rabbi out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my rabbi, my friend, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to Abba, God. But go to my brothers and sisters and say to them, I am ascending to my Abba and your Abba, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the rabbi, our friend." And she told them that he had said these things to her. May God bless our hearing of the word.
Thank you, Francis. Hang on just a minute. I want to lay some stuff out here. Almost done. Sorry. Taking longer than I thought. Could have just dumped the bag, but then it would have been, you know, kind of rude. Last ones. Thank you, Francis. All right, so I'll talk about all that in a minute. Valerie Cower, woman who wrote this book, See No Stranger, a memoir and manifesto of revolutionary love, the woman of the Sikh faith. And she wrote about something. She preached a sermon on December 31st, 2016, 3 weeks before a presidential inauguration, 3 weeks before a lot of folks were feeling some foreboding and some fear of what might be coming with that inauguration. And she preached a sermon that was way more powerful than I could ever do. But one of the things that she basically said is we need to make sure that we do not mistake the tomb for the womb. That we do not mistake the tomb for the womb, because both of them are dark places where bodies are held, but one of them is holding a body forever, and one of them is about to produce life coming out of it. And I think what is so interesting about that concept is that when we think about what Francis just read, and the story that we know about Easter Sunday is a story where, in fact, we think there is a tomb in which the stone has been rolled away and Jesus emerges. And indeed, that is the story that we have, but we can also think about that that tomb may very well be like a womb from which life that has been with us from the very beginning of time, from which a way of life, a way of love that has been the way that we are called to be, emerges out of that. But sometimes what is within the womb must gestate, must wait until its appropriate time. And so I want to share with you a little bit of theological gestation that has been going on for 2,000 years. There is a woman who is a doctoral student at Duke University by the name of Elizabeth Schrader. Elizabeth Schrader does not have her PhD yet, but she is turning the world of biblical scholarship on its head. And allow me to geek out just a little bit of Bible nerddom here. So what Elizabeth Schrader, why she's turning the world of biblical scholarship on her head, is that she has the ability, and it has only become the ability in the last generation or so, to be able to look at some of the earliest manuscripts of the Bible. So there's a papyrus scroll that is dated back to around the year 200. So we know that there's been copying and copying and copying, but up to the year 200, this is like an 1,800-year-old papyrus scroll that if you wanted to look at it before, you had to be given amazing permission. You had to be a biblical scholar up in the clouds to be able to give permission because it was so fragile. But the magic of digitalization now allows us to take that manuscript and look at it. And you can not only look at it, you can blow it up. And what did Elizabeth Schrader discover when she was looking at the Gospel of John, particularly in chapter 11, where there's the story of the raising of Lazarus? And if you may remember, in the story of the raising of Lazarus, the way that the story happens is that Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha send message to Jesus that their friend Lazarus has died. And Jesus says, don't worry, things will be fine. I know he's dead, but all is going to work out for what is well. And Mary and Martha have these conversations with Jesus. And here's what Elizabeth Schrader discovered as she blew up so that she could actually see this manuscript really big, is she noticed that an editor had erased some letters and had added in some other letters. And it was very clear. She showed it to others, and it was very clear that there was the words written like this, and then someone had erased a little bit and added in a little here. And what was erased was Mary appears throughout the story, but Martha, Mary's name is changed from Mary a couple of times to Martha. So now we have Mary and Martha. Now we have two sisters. And in fact, as we read the manuscript, it says sisters, but that's where they also noticed that an S, in essence, had been added in. So the story in its original probably was just Mary, no, and who was the sister, single, of Lazarus. Now, why is that important? Why is that so important? Because Martha is given the words when Jesus says, I'm about to raise your brother from the dead. Do you know who I am? And she says, you are the Messiah. You are the one that God has sent. Martha, who we never hear from again in the story, is the one who is given the privilege of declaring who the Messiah, the first one in the Gospel of John to say that. That's a big deal. If you're the first one to recognize the truth that 2,000 years of people will recognize, that's a big deal. But it's given to Martha. Mary's voice has been diluted. Instead of that being Mary who says that, we've given it to a sister that we never hear from again. And furthermore, what happens is the story of Mary. Mary, we hear about in other ways, But she gets confused with another woman from Magdala who is an adulteress. And so we think Mary Magdalene. If I say that, many of you think prostitute, adulteress from Magdala, not the same person. And so what has happened in time is Mary, who was indeed the person who probably said first and foremost, you are the Messiah, is also the person that brings expensive perfume and pours it over Jesus' head, anointing him, the anointing being a key way of saying this is the Messiah, and is also, as Francis has shared with us, the first person who the risen Lord appears to. And the word Magdala, we think that means the town of Magdalene, Magdala. We think that Mary Magdalene is from the town of Magdala, except for this story happens in Bethany, which is about 70 to 80 miles away from where they think a town of Magdala might have happened. Mary is not from Magdala. And what do we know? The word Magdala also means the tower. And so when we read Mary Magdalene, Mary of Mary Magdala, we are probably supposed to be reading Mary the tower. Not because she's a really tall person, but because, remember, who's the other disciple that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke we hear so much about? Peter the rock. And so now scholars are going, wait a minute. Is it possible that 2,000 years ago, it is not just Peter the rock for whom the church is built upon, but it is also Mary the tower? Because Mary the tower, Mary Magdala, is the only person that anoints, is the only person that pronounces Jesus as the Messiah, is the first person that Jesus appears to in the Gospel of John, is the one that informs all the boys who are cowering in an upper room what indeed has happened. And this is what's so interesting. Elizabeth Schrader, who is this scholar who is discovering all this and has shared it, and it's gone up the channels of biblical scholarship, and there's apparently a group of men somewhere in Europe, 11 of them, that are like the gods of scholarship, and they all have said, oh my goodness, this changes everything. And the Bible, they're saying, needs to be revised. The way that we are writing the Bible, we need to take away sisters, we need to take away Martha, we need to make this all about Mary right there. So she's taken it all the way up to the top, and so people would say, you must be really upset, Elizabeth. You must be really upset that over 2,000 years we have missed this message. And here's what's amazing. Here's what she says. She says, the world clearly could not handle at that time a woman being the other face of the church as Peter was. The world could not handle it. Patriarchal world, all sorts of things. And rather than being upset about it, she says, the scriptures are a living document. And indeed, we have had to wait until there is a time when indeed the world can hear what is there fully. I think about that womb. I think about the gestation that is 2,000 years in the coming. All these books are up here. These are books that I've been reading or read in the last number of years. And I invite you all to come up and look at them. And one of the things that you will find is that every one of them is written by a woman. The scholarship that the world is experiencing right now in the biblical world, in the world of faith, in the world of spirituality, is as much being written by women as it is being written by men, mostly white men, which is when I went to divinity school 34, 35, or however many years ago it was, which is what I mostly read then. But the world has shifted, is shifting. And so you have Phyllis Trickle right here, this amazing scholar who says, you know what? Here's what's happening in the church. Every 500 years, the church needs to have a giant rummage sale and get rid of some of the things that are holding it back. In the year 1000, that was the great schism that broke the Orthodox Church away from the Roman Church. In the year 1500 or so, that's when Martin Luther comes along with the Protestant Reformation. And here we are now in the midst of another great rummage sale of looking at what is it that we need to rid ourselves of that's getting in the way. Phyllis Trickle is telling us that. Valerie Cower, this woman who I mentioned earlier, is helping us to see the world with different metaphors, not from a Christian perspective, but from a Sikh perspective, but because we are now living in a world in which some of the things that need to be shed is that it must be all one dogma. In fact, we can now learn from one another. Caitlin Courtesy is a Native American, young Native American woman who comes from an evangelical background and came to a place where she said, that faith which has fed me by so much can only feed me a little bit more. And so she turned to her own Native American traditions and began to find a way to blend the faith that she was raised with Native American traditions in the same way that Robin Wall Kimmerer, who you've heard me quote so often, the author of Braiding Sweetgrass, is taking the wisdom of Native American culture and wisdom and is pulling that together with modern science and finding a synthesis that we have longed to have. And I could go on and on and on looking at each of these different books and lift them up. And here's why it's important on Easter. Not just because Easter, I want you to now know that the world of scholarship is a world of women. In fact, it's not just a world of women. There are all sorts of voices that have been silenced, that have been marginalized, that have been pushed aside. LGBTQ+IA, folks that are now, we are hearing from folks that come from voices of color that have never been heard before. We are hearing so much that is now available to us. And why? Because that very tomb that Jesus emerges from, in fact, is not a tomb. It is indeed a womb. That what Jesus emerges from is the opening of that stone being rolled away, is the opening of a world of life in which we are called to be in the way that we were called to be way back in Eden. Called to be a people that hears one another. Called to be a people that operates from a place of love. Called to be a people in which there are no margins. In which there are no voices that must be silenced. In which there is a constant opportunity for birth and rebirth, just as Mary, and Mary are an example of rebirth for us. We celebrate on Easter Sunday the most amazing news. That stone has been rolled away. The one who was killed on the cross, that all the forces of evil conspired to put onto that cross and into that tomb, do not have the final say. But what we are also discovering is there is more to emerge from out of that tomb. Day by day, there are voices to be heard. There's a world to be experienced. And God is lifting it up. Sometimes it must gestate. Sometimes we need to wait. And sometimes we need to seize the moment that is upon us, as Mary did, and realize that standing before us is love personified in one another, in God, in the world. Turn and call it by name and know that we each are known by name as well. For Jesus says to her, Mary, your voice, by saying that, is essential. They may not have known it 1800 years ago when they're erasing her name, but we know it now. How many more voices do we need to hear? Amen.